Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Gotta catch. Drag is the new.
What's going on, everybody? Patrick Bear here, and we are back again. I thought there were only four Fridays in December, and we recorded all of our content. Wished everybody happy holidays and a happy new year. And then I remembered, after looking at the calendar, that there were five Fridays. So we are back with a special bonus December episode of Flame On. And in this episode, we are going to get excited. We are going to start our engines and want our MTV for RuPaul's Drag Race Season 15 as we do not a deep dive. We are not going to go spelunking into this promo. But we are going to chat just a little bit about season 15, the queens, the promo look, and make some wild conjectural speculative predictions for our top three queens for season 15, which will be crowned in August of 2025. So just get ready, put it on your calendar, make a note. And I'm sure there will be some backtracking that we'll have to do during the course of it. Joining me from our regular cast of characters, we've got Brian.
Hello, welcome, happy new year.
And, yes, this comes out 2 days before new year. But,
I don't know. Happy old year.
Happy year. New old insurrection anniversary. I don't know. It all depends on when you listen to this. And joining us, we've got two returning voices to the pod. Both of these guests joined me on our All Star 7 recap episodes throughout the season. For season 7, I think I said that already. I've been in the car for 14 hours, y'all. I'm gonna pull back the curtain wide open. I just drove back to Chicago, and after 14 hours, I may not have many brain cells left. So
I'm just glad you made it. 14 hours straight-ish?
14 hours.
I don't know about you guys, but 14 hours of straight driving kind of implies that he might not have that many brain cells to begin with.
How else would you like me to get home? Like, for real? I mean, you just put your head down and drive. I mean, don't put your head down because
true.
You can't see the road. But I mean, I am blessed with having a dog who will actually sit through 13 hours and 45 minutes from the time we left my parents' house in New York to the time we parked in the garage here at our place in Chicago. So I am very thankful to have a very cooperative puppy. Who likes to sleep in very odd positions. He was sleeping with his face on the door handle of the back door. I literally had to stretch my arm back while I was driving and take a picture of it. It was so ridiculous. I love him. If I'm a little out of sorts, just know that that's the dedication I'm putting into making sure that you have all new content every Friday of this month. Is that to get everybody's schedules in line, we're recording almost as soon as I got home from this trip. So, anywho, back to the topic at hand. So, RuPaul's Drag Race season 15. We've got this coming out. It's going to premiere on MTV. It's the second time that we've changed networks for the main flagship show. All Stars has gone through a tumultuous ride of places it was going to be, then it wasn't, and then it is now. From VH1 to, what was it? Was it supposed to be Stars? I think was the first time.
Showtime. And yeah.
No. I think it was Stars originally. They pulled the whole, like, we're going to put this on premium cable twice. Yeah. And I want to say Stars was the first time. And that then was Showtime. met with immediate backlash. And then they were like, okay, I think it was like then All Stars 3. It was like, okay, it's going to be on, it'll be on VH1. Then they were like, Showtime. And then still a ton of backlash from the fandom. And then it stayed on VH1. And then they eventually moved to Paramount Plus, which I prefer. I'm very happy with the Paramount Plus move for All Stars.
Same.
Partially because it's uncensored. And you just, like, they can just say what they want to say. There's no bleeping. There's no editing out of any curse words or anything like that. I'm very happy with the Paramount Plus move there. But the main franchise show, the flagship show, started on Logo. As we all know, that's where we all started watching Drag Race. And then with season 9, it moved over to VH1, got a nice new HD upgrade and polish. And it has been there from season 9 through season 14. And now it is going to be on MTV. Remember back in the day, oh, James might not.
I do.
Remember back in the day when MTV was just music videos?
I remember what TRL is because I watched Mother Gaga so very graciously grace her first and almost be one of the last guests on TRL.
What's funny is I don't think TRL, when that aired, I think that the MTV had already stopped playing music videos.
Oh, other than 100%.
TRL. Yeah, so I'm sitting there like, wait, TRL, wow, oh, yeah. It's just that network, like every time I'm at a hotel and they have MTV, I stop just to see if I'll catch anything that's not a reality show. And no.
And it's 23 always hours of ridiculousness.
Like, oh, yeah. No, it's like 48 hours of ridiculousness, like in a row. And then they have that, like, that one, like, 20 seconds where it's like, oh, like, here's a couple of commercials for, like, Jersey Shore or something. And then you realize this is why the nation's youth is uncultured.
I don't even think does the nation's youth even watch it? Is that network even, is that their demographic anymore? I feel like the nation's youth is like, they wouldn't watch cable if you, like, sat them down. Like, they're on their
My
phone.
Younger cousin is just entering maybe his freshman year of college, and he is obsessed with Jersey Shore.
Oh, what?
But does the nation's youth know what a network is?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. I mean, I could 100% open this door and ask my boyfriend who teaches middle school band and ask.
Oh, that's
I mean,
fair.
Maybe. But I completely see this is how bad my brain is. I went on that whole tangent about why my brain is messed up and then completely forgot why I was saying that because I was introducing our guests and then we started this whole conversation and then in the middle of it, I'm like, oh shit, I have not introduced our guests. But the voices you've been hearing, we've got my buddy here from Chicago who helped me review, I forget which episode of All Star 7 it was.
It was the ball. It was the ball.
There we go. Okay.
The legendary legend ball.
You all did one episode, so you'll remember what you talked about with me. I did all of them and can't remember who I talked to about any of them. But we've got James here. Say hi, James.
Hey, people of the earth. I am back.
If you hear the clinking, that's because he is having a cocktail. Lucky duck.
I am having because I am off this week, everybody. My mother got me this gorgeously, gorgeously. She went to a liquor store with her boyfriend and saw the gayest bottle of liquor she found. And of course, it is this like pink Italian aperitif that looks like it's a Grand Budapest Hotel bottle. And I was like, thank you, mother, for seeing the most cunt bottle of alcohol and giving it to me. Wow. And she did. And now I'm drinking it. And it's very wonderful.
It is serving you liquor. I tickled myself with that one. Sorry.
It's okay. I love it.
And then our other guest for this episode is Jamie. Be Like Jamie. The Be Like Jamie is here again on the podcast.
To date, the worst advice given on this podcast.
If I had more time, I would have actually gone and gotten my Flame On shirt. So I could have been like Jamie.
Oh,
had my Flame On shirt. But
I'm just glad it showed up finally.
It did, yeah. Mine was a bit delayed. Mine just came in, I think, like a day or two ago. But it is here. I just happened. I have to still go empty out my car and get all my packages from the package room downstairs. Oof. But we are all here.
I am pleased that you've surrounded yourself with James, because I'm assuming Jamie
I was just going to say that.
Okay. Because yes. Jamie, are you James? And then Jamie is like the informal.
Yes.
Okay. And my first name is also James. So yes.
I was going to say, instead of a Greek chorus, it's my James chorus.
Love it. Dream come true to be in a room full of James.
I realized that as I was driving home, and I'm like voice texting everybody to try to coordinate a recording. And then I was texting Jamie. And then when he said that he could do it, I was like, wait a minute. I've got James, James, and James. Oh, Jesus. So I am, I'm the odd one out on this episode, but it is the chorus of James's is, the Council of James. Like the Council of Reed Richards?
Yes.
Council of Reeds?
I like it.
Can I be the Benny Jameserit?
Oh, you know what? I love you even more now. Thank you for that. your Reverend Mother, Gaius, what's her name? I don't know. Something with James.
Whatever the bitch with the Gam Jabbar is, I don't know.
Exactly. Gaius Mohiam. You're Gaius Mojaeans. I don't know.
All right. So we've touched on the fact that the show is moving to MTV. Do you all have any thoughts on, like, this has been like a weird point of contention online. Of, like, why does the show keep moving networks? And it's all under the Paramount umbrella, which is the funniest thing, is that it's never moved outside of the same company, just different networks. But do you all have any thoughts about it going to MTV or being on MTV for this for the foreseeable future?
So do we know if the episodes from MTV are going to be on Paramount Plus? Because a lot of the MTV stuff goes straight there.
So I keep hearing, and I don't remember where I'm hearing it from, but I've been hearing that, like, the two connected. Showing on MTV and then going to Paramount Plus. I don't know what the turnaround time is, because things like The Challenge do not go to Paramount Plus right away, because they still deal with streaming rights and the fact that it has to be on the network for X amount of time. And then after like 2 years, it goes to like the home streaming network. Because we just got, and we were just talking about this on a recent episode of Flame On about streaming and how long it takes. And literally, like, after we recorded that episode, I got an email saying that season 12 of Drag Race just got added to Paramount Plus. So it's like, it's 2 years. Yeah. So I don't know. I hope, because unless Eric resubscribes to Philo, I'm not going to have a way to watch it at my house. So I may have to resort to going to Friday night viewing parties, which could be fun, but then places like Roscoe's charge you $20, and bitch don't got $20 every week to be paying to watch. For $20 each episode, I would just go subscribe to Philo myself and pay $20 a month for the entire month and watch whatever I want on MTV at home. But
Dan and I may or may not have Philo, and you may or may not be able to get on our password.
Listen, I mean, just invite me over. We could just drink and watch Drag Race.
True.
But yeah, I mean,
I'm finally see our new place.
Yes, I would love that. I would love that. And maybe I'll make some glittery baked goods for a viewing party. The luster dust is sitting there. It's been waiting to be used. It'll happen. But I would hope so. Like, I would love to see it go to Paramount quickly. And maybe that was part of like the contract renewals with Drag Race, because it's getting a I think an overhaul is a bit too extreme of a word to use. But before we move on to that, any other thoughts on it moving to MTV from the Council of James's?
I honestly remember like the couple of weeks when I was in high school where Viacom, the parent company who owns Paramount and everything and all that, you know, grade A bullshit, decided to pull their streaming agreement with DirecTV or Comcast, whichever one decided to be angry at the time. And they were just like, we'll be right back when Viacom decides to not suck ass. And, you know, ever since that point in time, and reading a little bit more about how like Viacom actually operates their business model and basically just, you know, steals money from whoever decides to, you know, give enough. And then they decide to give, you know, some kind of streaming rights to it. I mean, season 8 of Drag Race is finally leaving Hulu, so it can be now available on Paramount Plus. So, because Dan and I decided to watch Bob's winning season recently because Dan has not been educated on Bob the Drag Queen that much. And don't even get me started. And
Bob the Drag Queen, can she turn it? Bob the Drag Queen, yeah, she
nope,
can.
She died.
Oh.
I think it's just going to be basically whichever conglomerate of the underneath the Viacom umbrella wants to spend the most money that year. I really think that's what it is.
It's shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's really correct. Inconsequential, except that I don't know. I would love to see the research and the numbers, because I just fundamentally do not believe that networks, like, you know, the joke, you know, the kids don't even know what networks are. Like, I just don't think they're as viable. And why would you keep pursuing that unless it's a contractual thing? So, yeah, I don't know. Streaming world is nuts.
I've read some stuff online. And I don't know. I'm not saying I did my research. I'm just saying I read shit online, whether it's true or not or how true it is. But what I had read was that Paramount was shuffling where, like, marketing and what falls under what, and now VH1 falls under BET. So the marketing and the programming is going to shift more to that market and that demographic. So they moved some of the programming, including Drag Race, over to MTV with a larger demographic, or, you know, in a different demographic than the programming that they're going to be focusing on VH1. So yes, I mean, all of it, in a sense, if that's true, all of it's really true, because it's all the same umbrella. It's all the same place. I think that MTV will give it a little bit bigger of a potential push and a potential market. But at the same time, like, this shit's so big as it is, with so many franchises, that it's all 6 1/2 dozen for me. One of the big changes, though, and I don't know, maybe Jinx might be a little upset about this. The grand prize has changed officially for the first time since season 4. I'm not counting last year, because that felt like a last minute add-on of adding $100,000 and splitting it between first and second. And I'm sure Monet Exchange is even more pissed about the fact that more bitches be getting money and she got nothing for being runner-up of All-Star 7. But the cash prize for the winner of season 15 is now 200 grand. So that's pretty damn snazzy.
So they can buy themselves a whole new set of teeth rather than just one top row or one bottom row.
Well, they can get the teeth and a little filler without having to pay out of pocket.
Okay, true.
Just a little, just a little here, a little there. And then the rest, you know, when they get back, when we come back for All-Stars, whatever, all winners, two will be, they can have a completely new face. Or go on to host another franchise and then have a new face every season, like Brooklyn Heights. Love Brooklyn, but I don't know who shows anymore.
Good.
Every year
her.
She just keeps looking different and different. So let's dive into the season. Let's start with this. One, we are kind of getting a refresh of the series, because they've gone back to the drag racing theme with the promo. So it's very reminiscent of season 1. I think the first challenges or the first mini challenge photo shoot is either car related or car washing, harkening back to season one's first mini challenge. If the first challenge is a drag on a dime, I'm going to be very happy. But I think it's going to be a talent show. I have a funny feeling they'll do the two episode premiere with talent shows again. But what are y'all's thoughts on kind of this callback, this throwback, this kind of refresh of going back to their roots and season 15 kind of echoing and mirroring the season one vibe without the Vaseline on the lens?
I wanted to bring back the Vaseline. I really thought you're going to go back to the beginning, man. You got to start with the filter. Come on. They got to do it. Maybe as a joke.
RuPaul, I got to know. Why are you so motherfucking blurry? We are in the same room. And you look like some sort of ghostly... Oh, sorry.
You look like a ghost. Can we petition to get Johnny McGovern as a guest again? Like, I mean... come on, just do it. And maybe even a pairing with Kate McKinnon, like a lovely little reunion.
Yes.
Oh, wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh, only if he says, RuPaul, I got to know. Why are you so motherfucking blurry?
Oh no, I just want to like, I think it'd be absolutely fucking hilarious if they had like the roof filter up and like Rue like reaches to the bottom of the screen and pulls up the roof filter and throws it away. She's like, I'm fucking done with that. But I think like it's nice to see like, you know, like the whole Drag Race roots thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think I said this to Pat or you guys earlier before we even started, but I was like, I love how like Tina Burner meets Chuck E. Cheese this looks. Because everybody was in some type of like, you know, flames. One of the girls, I have some notes here. I'm going to bring my notes before we even start talking about them. What's her name? Like three of the girls look like Eureka O'Hara has like been merged with some other drag queen. And then Selena.
There is one Selena, that fully looks.
Yeah.
There's one exactly that fully looks like about. Eureka O'Hara got left in the dryer.
Yeah.
Well, Mistress Isabel Brooks, I thought it was Eureka. Yeah. I thought that she changed her name and got back on the show.
But I just want to know, what part of Valentina's soul did Selena S. Titties have to steal to sit on the car like that? Because she literally looks... She looks like... Like, it's literally just giving me Tina Burner tried, but also, like, halfway between Butch Girl and a paintball arena. So.
She is the only one, like, I don't know what so to say want, about her pose in this promo.
It's like Miley Cyrus sitting on the roof of the car, rubbing her clit.
What that... pose is giving me is how many times is she going to say the word chola in the first episode?
Absolutely.
Party. Emma Libra.
So what do we think the prompt was for this outfit? Like, was it like, all right, here are your colors, pink, yellow, and black. Like, it's so, I don't know. It's an odd pairing. And white, yeah. But it's an odd pairing. And then I think most of them took the note and like went pretty, you know, down that path. But then you get like the ones that are just like monotone. I think like Irene was like 99% just pink in the promo look. Yeah. Totally like just like,
It's the yellow that confuses me because without the yellow, it's just your prompt is RuPaul's opening look.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, yellow is the drag, like, you know, crash test dummy safety yellow thing. But
that makes sense. But
it clashes so hard.
100%.
And I think that's by design. But yeah, I don't. That's the one thing I don't like at all. Like, I could just totally live without. Like, pick. You got
to
take one.
These are drag queens. They're supposed to clash.
That's fair. But like, I don't know. I'm looking at Anitra right now. And she didn't get the pink memo whatsoever. It's just black and yellow and a little white. But Yeah, I don't know. I'm always curious, like, what, because, you know, they tell the girls, like, okay, you're going to need these outfit types, or you need these, whatever. Like, I want to know what the prompt exactly was. Were they trying to go, like, all right, do your signature look? Were they going for, this will pair well with a Corvette? Like, I mean, I don't know. I kind of want to work backwards to figure that prompt out.
Category is Tina Burner fuck the Michelin Man.
Marcia is another one, Marcia. Just because I hadn't been driving all day. No, Marcia. Her outfit is like almost giving me Crash Test Dummy, but like paper cutout Crash Test Dummy, a pattern from McCall's or whatever that, you know.
Leave season.
I was wondering if Marcia got the. Oh, if only she were Blair St. Clair.
Yeah.
I don't think she got the prompt that this is going to be on national television.
Oof. Oh.
Yeah. So it's a look. I don't know.
From New York, just remember.
I think that this promo look is the way to inform the target demographic, who was probably not born when the first season aired, that Drag Race is something other than a TV show about drag queens.
Yeah. But is it, okay, though?
Party.
Is it, though? I mean, maybe that's what they're going to?
I went back to my hometown recently and had to drive past the drag strip to get to downtown. So now, there is actually a car connection at some point to what the show has become.
Listen, if they're going to go back to this, like, season one style promo, can they change Untucked back to, what was it, like, Under the Hood was the, like, season one Untucked or whatever?
While you guys go rest in the Interior Illusions Lounge.
Was it even that in the Interior Illusions Lounge?
Yeah. Oh,
it was always the Interior Illusions Lounge because that was the name of the online furniture company that sponsored it, because it was one of the only sponsors they could get.
Yep.
Well, and it's still Oh, I guess, because then in season 7 it became the Form Decor Lounge. Because it went to, season 7 was the year they took it off of TV and went to YouTube with it. And that's when they were like, all right, how many sponsors could we get? We got Mickey's WeHo, we got Form and Decor. And you know what's funny? So
Alan Chuck Travel.
Oh, Alan Chuck dot Travel. Oh, God.
Oh, Alan Chuck. Oh, gosh.
Oh God, we have a connection to Alan Chuck being, Brian's from Florida and me living in Orlando for
I think
a dozen
Al
years.
Is still alive. Well, I don't know. Maybe Chuck's still alive too, but they broke up. But I think Al is still a Facebook friend, and every now and again I see his posts, and I'm like, girl, what are you going through?
Don't you mean Al? Both capital letters,
all caps.
Yes. Al. We gave away a cruise in the Bear Den watching Drag Race one night because Al was there and was like, ask a trivia question. Whoever gets it right will get a free cruise. It's like, okay. Bizarre. But so, James, when you were talking about Selena's promo picture, I was looking at the group promo shot. I did not see her individual picture. So I understand what you're talking about. I was confused because if you look at the group picture, it almost looks like she's squatting to take a shit off to the side. Like the way that she's standing, it makes her seem so squat. It is ridiculous. And I'm like, that's a weird pose. And they were just not doing her any favors in the group shot.
Oh, I see.
But yes. Oof. Her solo one with the car where she's riding the trunk. Absolutely understand where you're coming from. But that group composite.
It kind of looks like she's been. It kind of looks like she has like a cape behind her where she's like trying to like either throw her ass back to shit or like catch her balance by catching wind.
But the thing is, like, it doesn't, the way that her outfit is. Oh, none of us do.
Thanks, Siri. I don't.
Siri was trying to get up in the conversation. the way that she's standing and the way that her outfit is in this picture, you can't tell if her knees are bent. So she just looks like her legs are cut, or like her legs are like she was shrunk in the picture. It's like somebody put her in the dryer between her pictures and that's what came out. Or maybe she's I don't know.
This pose is giving me, they had to superimpose me into the shot because we shot this after I've already been eliminated. Which they typically do it after, I think, the second elimination.
I think it's even later now.
Is it?
I think so. But I'm not sure. Like, I'm confused because it used to be after the first elimination. Or after the first 2 days of shooting. But then All Stars 5 didn't have promos. And that, like, they were filming before COVID took over. So if it was still after that first episode filmed, they would have had promos. So I think they might even do it after the season. Or like after the season.
But filmed. Do they do it differently for the All-Stars queens? Because you know those, they're spending god-awful amounts of money on their promo looks.
I don't know. I mean, now, like, everybody's spending god-awful amounts of money on, I mean, not 70 grand. We're not Isis Couture.
So that is my thoughts on the $200,000 grand prize. It's quit upping the prize and give these queens some budget for these looks going in so they don't have to mortgage their houses.
Seriously.
I'm of two minds. Like, yes, but at the same time, like, I would rather, I don't know. Like, if you're going to compete on the show, I don't know if you should be given like a shit ton of money to go buy outfits for the show. Like if you can't do it, like if you can't afford it, then don't do it. That's one mind, like one part of my mind. But at the same time, I also miss the days where you didn't have to spend 20 grand on an outfit to be praised on Drag Race. You know, I miss the season 8 and prior seasons where you could do something simpler and still rock the runway really well. Like, look at Bianca's outfits. Like, Bianca makes her shit, and like, she can whip together shit during the design challenges. They're not stone. They're not whatever, and they look great.
Yeah, but I mean, Bianca is a costume designer.
I know. It's tough to say that, but there are other, like Raja D. O'Hara,
Fair.
Queen of the motherfucking world. Fair. She spent $600 for I think All Star 6. And made top four, like, and was never read for being crafty. Shay on All Stars 5, I mean, she got called crafty, which was weird because, like, that just feels like an insult when her runways didn't deserve that on All Stars 5. But it's so weird. Like, Mick comes out in like these custom couture outfits that they're spending tons of money on. But do we need? We fed the monster, now we can't go back. So now the only other option is either these queens go into debt like completely, or we pay for their outfits
beforehand. I like the idea of like a investment like site where a drag queen can like Shark Tank pitch their aesthetic and their ideas and whatever. And then they could take investors who could like, you know, share in her winnings, like somehow if she won like the top, I don't know. Like, I feel like, and I'm sure that this does sort of happen at like a community level where like, even if it's just favors or something.
But it's not like these queens can set up a GoFundMe.
Well, not even a GoFundMe. GoFundMe's just here's free money, right? But I mean, like, I feel like there's a business model here.
Like microloans for queens? Like,
yes, thank you. Microloans for queens. That's what I'm totally going for here. And if it does, it's not earning
sense. What if we just do like, hey, Jimbo, can I borrow one of your chest plates? Or like, can I, you can have my chest plate as collateral, like.
But I even like this, Bureau. You could do it as a Kickstarter with different levels and like, okay, so if you support me, I will name drop something on the show somehow. Or, I mean, of course, they'll eventually figure this out. But, you know, that first season that where they pull this off, I don't know. There's something there. And I'm kind of surprised RuPaul has not already figured this out and is monetizing it. I'm kind of shocked.
I mean, that's what the sponsors are. That's what the sponsors are.
That's
why
fair.
She's like, well, it's now $200,000 to be a sponsor on the show.
We already have established that their track record of getting good sponsors, it's better now, but they've definitely struggled at times. You see prior conversation about alanchucktravel.com. But
alanchuck.travel.
Dot travel.
Dot travel. About that. I mean, what are you talking about? Selfie on a Stick isn't a good sponsor. Snag Tights aren't a good sponsor.
Hey, listen, those Jazzy. Queens need tights.
That's fair. No, that makes sense.
Fabric.com.
Oh, the fabric.com wall.
Fabric.com is a former Amazon company that they just shut down. So,
It's probably Spoonflower is not sponsoring them. I feel like a Spoonflower look. You got to match all these weird prints from all over the place.
Here's this butt plug printed fabric. Make this into a dress.
Wait a minute. Do they have that on Spoonflower?
They absolutely do because my boyfriend bought it to make masks.
Yes. Oh my God. I totally need to go check that out. I was just thinking you said butt plugs. I'm like, Tantus. Why has not Tantus sponsored? I mean, I'm sure it's they've probably had to draw the line at certain vendors. But damn, it's a shame. Wouldn't that be great? You know, what's Mr. S Leather, sponsors. There's so many options.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Anyway, so where did we get? We went down a rabbit hole.
I mean, it's what happens. That's what happens. So bigger prize money, possibly return of the filter. RuPaul will throw the filter away, except for her wig line. She'll just leave that. It'll be like, and then just keep that nice and blurred. Keep it nice and blurred.
Hopefully.
But before we dive into kind of what we think of the queens, we've been talking about the queens through this whole thing, but there are a bunch of celebrity guest judges that have been announced for season 15. There are a couple that I personally am super fucking stoked for. But I will throw it to you all. Have you seen the list of guest judges that they've announced so far, including, and I'll say this, T.S. Madison will now be a rotating guest judge with Carson and Ross, which is awesome. T.S. has been
a fantastic voice.
Yeah, for real. But are there any of the announced guest judges that you all are looking forward to seeing them on the judges panel for season 15?
I am so ready to see Ariana. I am so sorry, everybody. I have loved Ariana for a very long time, but I am also ready to see her act like a total fucking airhead and pretend that she knows fashion. Because I am so sorry. I am so sorry. She just decided to one day make REM Beauty or like a makeup line. And I've looked at it. I've been into Sephora. I was actually at Sephora today. And guess what I did? I walked right past it because I did not like it. I don't like it. Because she thinks that she can make some like ambiguously futuristic space looking like compact and put like a dollar's worth of lipstick in it that any other brand could make. And she calls it a beauty product. And you know what? I'm excited to see what she thinks about some of these queens' makeup other than, yeah. But I'm excited for her because I actually do like her music. But also at the same time, who else is who's the really famous actress, not Anne Hathaway, makes me think of Anne Hathaway. Who is she? Jesus. I have to Google their guest judges because I'm forgetting about who it is.
Well, I know our cast is excited about several folks, and Pat, I'm sure you will. I will save the most exciting, I think, for you. But I am very excited.
Super exciting for me.
I know. Harvey Guillen.
Julia Garner.
Who?
Sorry, Julia Garner.
Oh, you think she? I kind of see that. Okay, wait, is she a guest judge?
Yep.
Yes.
Really? I didn't even see that on the list. Oh, there she is. Look
but
at
continue.
That. No, but I am very excited. Harvey Guillen, those of you who do not watch What We Do in the Shadows, you should. We've talked about it a lot, but Guillermo on that show is such a delight. And this last season, they actually gave him a delightful, like, full-throated queer storyline, even if it got really weird and crazy and kind of dumb. But like, Harvey Guillen is so fabulous. He has been making the rounds on all kinds of different queer projects and pop media. I forgot. I just saw him pop up somewhere.
He's judged on Dracula.
That's what
this season and last season.
Yes, which good. Thank God, right? And you know, a little maybe more targeted in that horror, if you think What We Do in the Shadows is remotely a horror like show, right? But I'm just so thrilled he's gonna be on there. He's delightful. Actor or character. So I'm very excited about him.
I'm excited about Ellie Wong. I'm interested to see what that's going to turn into.
I'm also really excited for Megan Statler, the hi gay girl, is going to be on there.
Oh, yes. Oh, good. That's perfect. You know, she was so good in Hacks, so I'm thrilled that she's going to get another venue to show off her delightfully unique comedy. But I mean,
she did not start it. Like, hi, gay. I'm gonna jump through the screen.
I know. I love the fact that she gets a prominent role on Hacks, and we're still like, it's the hi, gay girl. That's how it will be.
She keeps making content as high as that character, so you know she doesn't hate
it. She's done two. And it took her like 2 years in between them to do it.
She was interviewed on NPR about that. That blew my fucking mind. I was like, are you? And it's funny because I had just seen the TikTok and then I was like, oh my God, that's also the Hackstrick. Anyway, we're burying the lead though, because again, longtime listeners know there's two people that our show, musician wise, I should say, that talk incessantly about, and both are judges. On the season.
I talk incessantly about.
That's true. One mostly whom, is you, but you know.
Yeah. One of whom I saw a couple of months ago for the first time in concert, and the other who I have multiple pieces of merchandise and her album title tattooed on my wrist. But Lesbian Jesus, Hayley Kiyoko, will be a guest judge on season 15, and I am so fucking excited. Lesbian Jesus, that is what she is known as by her fans. The Kiyoko Naders. I don't know if that's what her fans are called, but whatever. She was seen. She actually won her episode of Secret Celebrity Drag Race season one as well. So
she did.
I'm very excited to see her back. And Janelle Monáe is going to be a guest judge on this season, and I cannot fucking wait. Cannot fucking wait. I got to watch Knives Out so I can watch Knives Out 2.
First of all,
really Knives Out too.
You don't though.
You don't.
I know,
don't.
But I will.
No,
but I won the DVD at game night. I'm going to watch Knives Out 1, so I can watch Knives Out 2, which I know is not Knives Out 2. But still,
Glass Onion, you gotta watch it. I was so happy with the role and what she does in that movie. It's other than Daniel Craig, it's probably my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah. I will tell you right now, she walked on that screen. Not like the first time you see her is definitely not the entrance she should have had. And I will 100% say that. But the first main entrance she has in that movie, I'm like, if this is the only shot that I get to see of her in this entire movie, I'm very thankful that it was. And then you get a very awkward close up of her awful haircut.
I'm excited to watch it. I love me some Janelle Monáe. So
you're gonna love her for this.
I am stoked. I'm so excited. But when I saw that she was gonna be a guest judge, I was over the moon. So, before we wrap it up, let's talk the queens. So we've been doing a little bit of chatter about some of the looks and the promo itself, but what queens? Let's go. Let's start with Jamie, and then we'll do James, and then Brian, and then me. We'll kind of just do. We'll do two rounds. Jamie, kick us off. Who is one of the queens that stood out to you? Just not even a winner pick, but just from the promo look, stood out to you from this cast.
Okay, from the promo pick, from knowing her before this, from anything that she's ever done, Sasha Colby. Like this promo pick is cunt.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's almost all unfair. Right.
End of podcast. Yeah. Like, that's it.
end of season, Sasha Colby's Drag Race.
I loved how many people, like even like Brooklyn, there were a couple of different queens that were like, could you imagine walking in and seeing Sasha Colby? I would just turn around and walk out.
Gotta go by. She is your favorite drag queen.
Yes. I mean, and Brooklyn's a former Miss Continental. Sasha's a former Miss Continental. Like, you know, game recognized game, but Sasha is royalty. And I'm sad I did not go and say hello to her at Continental Elite this year, but I think I said this on the last recording that we put out, but Chrissy went up to her. I told Chrissy that, like, at that point it was speculated. It was rumored that she was going to be on the show. And he went up to her to say hi, and he was like, congrats on winning Drag Race. And she just laughed. And, you know, I mean.
Oh, if they pull some nonsense and she gets eliminated, period, but especially early, I will find RuPaul's house and flip over her table.
I mean her oil rig?
I will have to get past the oil rig to get to it.
Fracking. Oh, James, who's a standout for you from the promos?
Okay. So I have two that I would like to comment on, because I have actually loved Sugar and Spice ever since I have seen them on TikTok. Now, you know, me being the, you know, the millennial, I will say here. You know, they are, I've always liked how they've played off of each other. I think that they're both basically the polar opposites in their own styles of drag. I love that. But I'm kind of excited to see which one of them is going to throw the other under the bus to win the season if that happens. Because I get that, you know, they're actual twins. Like, you know, and it's the first time we've ever had anybody of like blood relation on or like any like drag house relation on a season. Like, we've never had sisters that are actually like drag sisters before Drag Race on, I believe so, in the same season, if I am correct.
Unless we had drag sisters this year.
We did, actually.
So Robin Fierce and London, I can't remember her full name, are both drag sisters.
Forgot about that. Anyways, I'm excited to see them. And on top of that, I hope that Sasha Colby just walks in and everyone's like, I think I was even in the promo, they were talking about like putting Sasha Colby on Drag Race is just unfucking fair.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. And I've mentioned this before, but the only reason I know of Sugar and Spice is because of the beatdown. Because yes. Willem read them for during, and I mean, this was like prior to, I think this was like early on in them doing like content creation, but yeah, I think I might've found the episode. I'll have to send it to y'all. But if you haven't seen it before, which I think also has Sarah Andrews, one of her like talent numbers from one of the pageants in there. Always good to watch. Brian, who stuck out for you in the promo?
Well, Sasha Colby, of course, Sugar and Spice, naturally because of their weird relationship. I have not seen them on TikTok. I have not found my way into Drag Talk somehow. I don't know how I haven't, but
Same here.
It's one of those parts of the universe that I just like. I don't know. The algorithm is clearly not doing its job, but of course, because they are a Seattle based queen, and I actually have heard of them and followed them on Instagram. Didn't realize at the time, because I have not seen them live. I think it was like when I moved here, I'm like, find all the queens, so I know what's going on. Irene Dubois. And what's really cool about Irene is she is a former, well, I guess not former, because you're never really former, Queens of Adventure drag queen. So Queens of Adventure, we've talked about them. I think we talked about them back when they started. Friend of the show, Matt Baum, I think originally sort of helped produce, and I think he's kind of left that and it's doing its own thing now, but podcast / live show of drag queens playing D&D with some very established and esteemed alumnus, including Rock'em Sakura, Erica Clash, Bendela, and Bosco, which I actually just realized as I was going back, I was like, looking at who all is on. Bosco's on there. No shit. So yeah, Irene's look
Bosco.
Is
Bosco.
What is that clip from? Every time I hear that, I'm like, did they ever source or say where that's from?
Yeah, that's Dipper had to go find it because Alaska, it's from Seinfeld.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the old lady from Seinfeld, and then like Dipper had to go find it, and then that's when they added it to the soundboard.
Oh, I love every time that comes up. So yes, Irene has a great look. I was going through their Instagram and seeing so much, like, just if you value costuming and you value makeup and just not the traditional like contouring that, you know, every queen and a king knows how to do, go look at Irene's stuff. It's amazing. Drag Alien for sure, but like way into other cool, crazy characters and a big old nerd, which we always appreciate here on Flame On. So yes, I'm very excited about Irene. I don't know that her interview was great. It was a little cringy at times, but I do appreciate that they're featuring that they're sober and that's a part of their journey. And they're sharing that because that's something that they've definitely, I think, touched on in the past. And of course, wouldn't be the first queen to be sober on Drag Race or in general, but it is important, and glad that that's I'm assuming that that's going to be a talking point, and they're going to have that as part of their storyline. So good for them.
I was going to say that was a big part of Rue and Jinx's chat in the last episode of AS7.
Mm-hmm.
For me, as far as the promo pictures, Lux Noir London stands out. There's a lot of good looks. I don't know necessarily, like, I don't know. This, hers just draws my eye. I don't love it, but it's cool. Like, I don't know. It's a weird mixture of feelings that I have on that. But Lux, Noir London, Black Peppa, and then Jamie, were you saying that Robin Fierce,
yeah,
part of that house also? They're part of the Heart House. They're Mo Hart's daughters, which I did not realize that Black Peppa was Mo's drag daughter. But
I would say that Lux Noir London, also the aesthetic is kind of similar to Black Pepper.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's so hard because you don't want to compare these queens to, you know, other previous Drag Race queens, but it's getting really hard not to.
Speaking of, am I the only one that questioned whether or not they had misspelled Dex looking at these promo pictures?
Which one?
I thought that they had inadvertently switched out the D for a J on Miss Dex.
Oh, it's not Dax exclamation point. She did not come back to the show.
I hope she
but did. Seriously, this promo pic looks a lot like her.
It does.
Well, I mean, honestly, as you go through them, there are so many. And I know that it becomes a matter of, her face is definitely screams Dax exclamation point. But like, let's see, which one was I thinking?
We're going to find out halfway through the season that Dax has secretly snuck back onto the show by changing one letter of her name.
Could you imagine? Drop the exclamation point, change the first letter, we're good. Malaysia looks like Brita Filter and Silky Nutmeg Ganache had a baby. Marsha looks like Blair St. Clair circa season 10. Mistress Isabel Brooks.
Again, Marsha wishes she were Blair St. Clair.
But the season 10 look.
You literally said something earlier. You were like, I think she decided to show up and and didn't even know it was the day they were shooting for Drag Race or something.
Yeah, this look is not a promo pick for a national television show.
It's like Meet the Jetsons, but she got all of her costumes at the dollar store.
She's serving you Judy Jetson Hooker on a dime.
But on top of that, I'm looking at whatever she decided to call a corset, and it's a triangle bra pattern that you can get at, Five Below. It's literally that pattern of swimsuit that girls would get at Victoria's Secret when I put it on one model and it got so popular. And now the only people who wear it are 15-year-olds who have $15 to go at, Rue 21 or something. It's very, very much so. I don't care for it.
Yeah. What was it? Mistress Isabel Brooks looks like Yuriko O'Hara. Princess Poppy looks like an angrier Miss Cracker. Season 10 promo.
You'd realize an angrier Miss Cracker is Aquaria, right?
Yes, but the promo... It almost looks identical to Cracker's promo picture, though.
True. Princess Poppy is the other one that I knew of prior to this cast announcement because she is a San Francisco queen, and I have seen her once and was kind of surprised to see her on Drag Race. I don't see her going very far.
I mean, only time will tell. We'll find out on maybe I was gonna say on January 6th on Insurrectionversary. We'll find out, but they may not send anybody home in those first two episodes.
Well, so saying the six episodes where they don't send anybody home doesn't count as making it far on Drag Race.
The 14 episodes. RuPaul is leaving it up to the drag gods again, which means that 14 episodes are non-elimination or continuation episodes. The season will end sometime in 2025. Just call back to my earlier statement. Okay, so before we do our wild speculations on our top three queens, James, I know you had notes. You did homework for this episode. Do you have any other pieces of information that you want to throw out there, chat about, talk about? I'm going to open the floor to you before we do our final predictions. You're muted. No, still muted.
Hi.
There you go.
So I looked, and I basically just have first impressions over their pictures, which, some of them I've already talked about. I talked about Sugar and Spice. I talked about Selena S. Titties. Robin Fierce. I basically just put, why is she wearing a gown? Princess Poppy looks like she's draping an inflatable over her body. Mistress, I just wrote Eureka? ?
yes.
Malaysia, I put Silky. Lux,
Silky and Brita for sure.
Yeah,
because that is definitely
Lux,
a Brita filter
I said,
in there too.
You call seatbelts a dress. It's like she's going to the Eagle. And in a point where she looked up online what the Eagle was and then decided this is what she felt comfortable wearing to go.
She's going to the Tampa Eagle. She's not even going to a main city Eagle. She's going to the Tampa Eagle.
Right. And then I know you guys were talking about Lucy and how Lucy looked like a angrier cracker. But that actually probably checks, because not only I think she's also a New Yorker. I don't know. No, Connecticut. Close enough. But they're a construction worker in the day. Like, they actually have like a blue collar job. And then at night they're a drag queen.
Okay. Can I talk about this, though? Because you cannot give me construction worker by day, drag queen by night, and not be Kendra Michaels at a drag.
Right?
And I have, yes. I have stalked the Instagram, and Lucy LaDuca is no Cameron Michaels.
No. Like, and so
that's what I was thinking.
I didn't say Lucy was the angry Miss Cracker. Lucy is a Miss Cracker and Cameron Michaels baby in drag, but no Cameron Michaels out of drag. Shit, who was I thinking? Princess Poppy was the one that I said looks like an angry Miss Cracker promo photo.
Yeah. And then I'm surprised none of us talked about Aura as much. Because I did kind of like her look, but at the same time, But I think we really need to get over shoulder pads.
I think we need to get over whatever's on her legs, because I love the cape. Because
it looks like
shoulder pads.
No more caps for drag queens.
Like, it kind of looks like she took those like English Christmas poppers that are made out of foil, and she like cut half of it off and stepped through them. And
she's wearing Christmas crackers.
And then, Antara looks like she rolled through a car, an Automax or an AutoZone. And she doesn't even look like she's holding an actual flag. It looks like it's been like photoshopped into it.
And her hair needs to be way bigger for that face.
Yeah.
Oh, her.
And then Amethyst just looks like a Princess Leia like slut look. It's okay. I mean, but there's just a lot going on, a lot of vinyl, and I kind of feel like if she like were to just kind of stand up, you'd have to like listen to all the squeak she'd make. So, you know, like just those boots alone. So I'm really excited for this season, because I feel like we're getting a lot of like not like drag types that we haven't seen a lot, but we're seeing a lot of types that haven't been on Drag Race in a very long time. So, you know, I feel like some of the people who are going to be like, we're expecting to be a look queen, aren't going to be a look queen. I 100% think that we might be surprised by some of these girls.
I mean, I hope so, because it's tough for me. I mean, Drag Race is Drag Race. I don't get too excited about the season until about halfway through, because then I have had a chance to really kind of appreciate the people that are there. I don't watch the Meet the Queens videos personally. I want them to impress me with who they are on the show, the character that they bring to the show. And I know and what's edited to be their character on the show. But I mean, I'm more Drag Race is more Drag Race. I'm excited. So are y'all ready for wild speculation and conjecture, picking our top three queens to go all the way? Because even if you're not
ready,
we're going to do it. So we're going to go in the same order, because that's how y'all are on my screen. So we'll go Jamie, James, Brian, and then I will close it out. Jamie, who, before we even start, we're not even in the same year that the season is going to be airing, but based off of this promos, I think you said you watched the Meet the Queens videos. Who are your picks from the get-go to make it to the top three?
Sasha Colby, and Sasha Colby.
And episode done.
Yes. So Sasha Colby, obviously, if she is not in the finale, there is no justice in the world.
Correct. I
kind of am hoping that Isabella Brooks is going to surprise us, because I am all about a big Southern queen. But she also may be the first one out.
Or she might break her knee and come back in season 16.
True. And then I'm also going to say whichever one of the twins doesn't get eliminated when they finally make them lip sync against each other will be the third.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. All right. So Sasha, Isabel, and Sugar and or Spice. James, yep. What about you for your top three?
So I am conflicted because, like, again, Sasha Colby. But I have a really big feeling that we're not going to get much of Sasha Colby. I think I've done a little research. I've seen videos of her, and she's very much so, like, she knows exactly who she is, and she might, like, at one point just be like, you know what, I'm too good for this and leave, or that attitude will get her kicked off. So,
see, I think that's why she's going to win, because she's not going to be good enough TV to come back for an All-Stars.
Yeah. So, you know, I am excited to see what we have. But I think we're going to get, we might get a little bit surprised. So, you know, there's a lot of scary, you know, ideas that could happen. But I'm kind of wondering, like, what kind of challenges they're going to do this year. You know?
Acting, roast,
Rusical.
Snatch game, Rusical.
You know?
Washing a car photo shoot.
Yeah, that too. But
I hope they do something different. I really want to be surprised, and they're making little inroads every now and again that surprises me, but I don't believe it. You know.
Yeah. Brian, who are your picks for top 3?
Oh man, I have no idea. I'm just going to go with the people with the longest names because I think it'd be funny if they always had to just sit there and, you know, recite their name. So because of that, we'll go with Malaysia Baby Doll Fox, Mistress Isabel Brooks, and Lux Noir London. I can't even say that. Lux Noir London, tied with, because it's the same number of characters, Marsha.
All right. For me, again, I will echo the Sasha Colby. But I say Sasha Colby, we'll go with Lux Noir London and Aura Mayari. Those would be my three. That's where I'm going with very little to go on, just the pictures that are on the screen right now. So, I mean, you will find out in 4 months. Roughly, because it is a 16 episode season, so barring any preemptions, 4 months, so January, February, March, the end of April, we'll find out if any of us were right, and if maybe just Sasha Colby multiplies like a gremlin, or a mogwai, I should say, because she is gorgeous and beauty personified, so mogwai, and just competes against herself for the crown at the end of it. Well, Jamie and James, and James, a.k.a. Brian, our Council of Jameses, thank you so much for joining us for this final episode of Flame On going out in the year of 2022. Look forward to watching along with the season. Maybe we'll do a recap or a mid-season review of season 15, because I'm definitely not doing 16 or 15 15 weeks of recaps. That's not happening this season. So, but thank you, gents, for joining me. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for a great 2022 and keeping on supporting Flame On. I don't think that was grammatically correct. Thank you for supporting us. And we will see you all next year. Bye, bitches.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.